You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
It's KISW right now. I'm talking with a guy who's kind of a hometown. I mean, he's a living legend to me, man. He's making it work. Today, his band just got announced that they're going to be playing with Slayer, with Pantera, with Motley Crue, with freaking Iron Maiden at the Aftershock Festival in Sacramento. But
hey, our specific stage, I got to say, we're playing with Body Count. I'm sorry to interrupt the intro, but Body Count, come on.
That is amazing. Say what's up to Ice-T for us, man. We're talking with Ian Shelton, and his band Military Gun is going to be playing Saturday, March 9th at Numo's with Pool Kid, Spiritual Cramp, and Roman Candle. Ian, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Dude, thank you for having me. All these years later, going on dead air, and now, yes. Now on KSW, I'm assuming this is Loud and Local, right?
I was gonna say, which would you prefer? You know, because obviously Military Gun's not really metal for metal.
I mean, I'm down for whatever you're thinking. I mean, we're down to piss people off no matter where we go. I mean, the big thing is we don't really fit anywhere. Clearly, we're not a metal band. Playing with some metal bands coming up, obviously, but you know, we're in a weird spot. Weird band, which I think you've observed a lot of years of me being too much A, too much B, and not completely fitting in and ever really at any point.
You know, Numo's, it's not the Aftershock Festival, but I know that specifically this is a big one for you. So, Ian, why is headlining Numo's a big deal for you?
Dude, I never thought that I would be able to do something like headline Numo's. I used to play Rainfest, you know, the hardcore festival that used to happen, and it was the marquee thing of every year. It was the most important weekend of the year every year, and you know, you kind of planned your entire life around that. And the final couple years were at Numo's, and I never thought that. Literally, the last year, I was like, "Wow, I should really take this in. I'll never be back here on this stage ever again." And so to come back and headline is just like a completely surreal and psychotic experience.
During the pandemic, we actually chatted. We had a Zoom at home kind of session where we chatted. And that was around the time that you were, I think, focused on Regional Justice Center, because I went back and listened. I don't think Military Gun was a thing yet, or at least not really.
It might not have been in the public eye yet. It definitely was. I mean, from the jump of the pandemic, it was, I mean, the band started the very first day of the pandemic. It was the day that the entirety of our schedule was canceled. I decided to start this band. Oh. And so, yeah, so that was kind of it was the all consuming force. I wasn't necessarily talking about it publicly because I was developing it. So I don't know exactly where we were, but yeah, I mean, it was pretty much the entirety of the pandemic. I just worked on this band and just kept it was my life force at the time, because I just was obsessed with trying to figure out what this band could or should be.
Were you kind of like, are you kind of like the Wizard of Oz behind the scenes, like just like crafting this? Is this kind of like your baby?
Yeah. I mean, it started as just me. I mean, me and Steph from RJC wrote one song together. She sang half of it. Mm-hmm. And then I dropped her off at the airport and I went immediately back to the practice space and wrote and demoed a second song. And then I came back the next day and did a third and then a fourth the next day. And so it was like, it was the only thing I was doing for a long period of time. And that's how we ended up, before we ever played a show, we wrote three records.
Wow.
And one of those, one of those records being Life Under the Gun, the record that we're currently touring on. All of this momentum was built before we ever played a show. We wrote the song Do It Faster before we ever played a show. It was fully demoed. The record was fully demoed and we were listening to it on our first tours. And we just sat on it, waiting to like get the support and kind of have the right opportunities that felt like these songs deserved.
Interesting. Wow. So it was like fully developed in your mind, but you were just like waiting to get the, you know, platform to really kind of let the songs, you know, shine and stuff. Right.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was like, we knew we needed to be signed. We knew that, more or less we had to figure out how we could get this out to more people than we knew. I think that a huge part of people's thing that they mess up is they rush songs out. They're like, let's drop songs to go on a tour. But it's like, no, you should tour and build your songs up and then release songs, because then there's more fans there to hear those songs. So we, you know, we did like four or five full US tours before we dropped Do It Faster. And that was very intentional.
Wow. And now you're on a label with Ghost. I mean, you know, just notably one of the bigger artists, Denzel Curry, formerly Marilyn Manson. Loma Vista is the name of the label. People might not be familiar, but it's a major label that has sort of a kind of like a more independent spirit, it seems like. Am I correct in that?
Well, it's not technically a major, because the majors are like, there's only three majors left, technically, I believe.
But like, and Sony.
I think it's like Universal, Sony, and Warner's, maybe. But I don't know who's in bed with each other anymore, because they all have bought each other at some point, which technically Loma Vista is not a part of that chain, but like has all of the resources of a lot of the majors and kind of has a old school major mentality. So I you know, it's splitting hairs really in the modern day, but as far as the concept of majors, there's only three left. So,
I mean, your label mates with some interesting artists. Do you ever see yourself doing like, you know, a tour with Ghost? You ever see, could that happen? Is that in the books possibility?
I mean, I'm very positive Loma would rally for any possibility that could make sense. And there's definitely been a lot of things, such as us doing a song with Manchester Orchestra, that have come to fruition through the label. But, you know, it's always about what makes sense. I would love to tour with Ghost, because I really do love Ghost.
Yeah.
But I think that their fans would probably boo us off the stage.
Unless you put some wacky makeup on, you never know.
I could come up with a whole shtick for that tour, maybe.
I like the music, but it sometimes seems like you have to be kind of a gimmick band to go along with, you know. Anyways, we're not going
to
get
it. Well, you have to wait. I will say this about Ghost. It's about putting on a show. They sell tickets because they put on a show. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not every aspect of being a band is necessarily about the songs. It's about how much do you entertain somebody. You know, like, you're not watching a Netflix show thinking about how great the audio is. You're just entertained. And that band like Ghost, where they're putting on a front to back package, you know, like, that's why that's so big, is it's entertaining in every way. So I love Ghost. I gotta cape up for Ghost occasionally, you know?
Absolutely, dude. I love Ghost too. I remember seeing them at El Corazon opening for Enslaved in 2010. And now they're touring, you know, and you're totally right. Like for instance, like a band like Amon Amarth, there's like 1,000 melodic death metal bands, but I want to see Amon Amarth because they bring out the Viking ship, because they bring out, you know, they have fun with it. They have the total show, you know. It's when it comes out to, you know, when you're on that scale, it's about the pageantry. It's about the, you know, the whole rock and roll spectacle of it. Anyways, so you specifically, and this ties into Loud and Local, you come from, you know, the Northwest hardcore scene, and you're originally from Enumclaw, correct? Or no,
yes.
From California? Or
I moved to Enumclaw when I was 12. So most of my formative years were in Enumclaw.
And you were in like super heavy bands. Yeah, I mean, most notably, like I said, Regional Justice Center. You were in a band called Bully, shout out. And Seattle's New Gods. Is Military Gun the most like melodic and kind of like, you know, commercially accessible kind of style band, would you say?
I mean, I would view it almost as a continuation of New Gods in a lot of way, where New Gods more or less a grunge band, where, you know, is more melodic guitarist, but less melodic vocals. And I've always been very inspired by what we did with that band and feel like we didn't do what we should have done. And so, you know, starting this band, it was a very big inspiration to be like, oh, you know, that I used to play in this other band and it just seemed like there's a lot of untapped potential. But definitely the most melodic. I mean, I also played in a band called Self Defense Family, which, like, again, maybe more melodic on the guitar front, but not as melodic on the vocal front. And that was a huge gap I saw in a lot of the projects, where it was like, we make cool music, but then, like, it doesn't get taken all the way vocally. And so this was me pushing myself to figure out how to write a great vocal melody and, like, figure out how to make a great song front to back that wasn't like, oh, now we made great guitar parts, let's just put any vocals over it, you know?
Did you take voice lessons, like, professionally?
I have since. The writing of the LP all happened before I ever took any voice lessons. But when it came down to figuring out how to not to blow my voice, I ended up having to employ some help, because I was honestly at one point blowing my voice way too often, and it was humiliating. And so it was about trying to figure out how to elevate the live show to being what we needed to be the band we want to be.
With hardcore, you can always put the microphone in someone else's faces, right? But with, like, the style of music you play, it's, you got to be singing most of the stuff, right? Because you kind of,
we're lucky right now because we still do have the hardcore energy at our,
yeah,
shows. We have noticed that our fan base is not really a hardcore fan base, but they've seen the videos, you know, so they're like, I have a control where I'm like, if you can't sing it better than me, you're not singing into the microphone, come on.
Fair enough.
And so I go above people's heads, but I don't ever, like, let people, because when they do it, it's usually horrifying, whatever sound they make.
I remember doing a sing-along during, like, that band Stop at Nothing with Floppy Matt. I did a sing-along and I did, like, power metal vocals, and he was like, nope, the microphone back. I'm a huge wrestling fan. You guys, it was just announced that Post Malone did the soundtrack for WWE 2K24 and Military Gun's on it, man. So tell me a little bit about how things got here. And honestly, I think, like, that's a good look for, because, like, video game, my friend's band Avoid, they're, you know, like a pretty popular band, but they got a really big bump when they got put on a NASCAR soundtrack. And, you know, a lot of people that might not necessarily get into that music, or they're just video gamers, and they hear it and they're like, oh, this is sick. So you kind of get like a captive audience when they're playing the video game. So how did this happen, man?
I mean, there's this kind of infamous video at this point of Post Malone and I drunkenly singing Do It Faster together in Amsterdam. But it's like, I don't know, it's a very weird thing. Syncs are a very weird thing. And, you know, at some point, you know, it goes two ways, where people who engage with it constantly eventually get annoyed. It like goes from excitement to annoyance. And so you kind of embrace that as part of the process of like, oh, okay, our YouTube comments go from like, we were in the NHL video game. So it's like, oh, NHL, NHL, NHL. And then we do a talk about commercial, and then it's all talk about, talk about, talk about. And then now we're WWE. So it's like, oh, WWE. And so you're like, you embrace the cycles of it. And with that comes also a ton of haters. And so you're like, you know, well, we've been exposed to tons of people who wouldn't hear the song in any other way. So that's exciting. But then you also have to deal with the annoyance of like, oh, and there's tons of people who are just mad at us for existing and that I've never wronged, but who feel as though I've wronged them by creating this song. And so it's just a very weird dynamic, really.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, so appreciative. It puts us in front of so many eyes and ears, and like, you know, it's amazing to just be like forced upon so many people and make them react. That's like my ultimate punk gene, is being like, damn, we've pissed off so many people by just existing.
I mean, the Taco Bell commercial too, and relating to wrestling, I was watching wrestling and they had a commercial for Taco Bell, and you come on, and I think I messaged you on Facebook like, dude, that was awesome. So like, you know, how did that come about? Was that like Taco Bell reaching out to some bands? Like, I know Scowl did that too, and then also part of that question, do you get lifelong Taco Bell?
So it's funny for us because that was our second Taco Bell commercial.
Okay,
not a lot of people know that the song Pressure Cooker we did was in a Taco Bell commercial before, but it wasn't on football games. So People didn't really take notice. I think Twitch streamers were the most annoyed by that one.
Sure.
But I mean, it's this type of thing where Taco Bell is a very grassroots situation. Like their team is very tapped into what's happening. And they're one of the very few brands that is taking the chance on new artists. Like if you think about every other brand, if they're partnering with somebody, it's Travis Scott, Lizzo, whatever it is, yeah. It's the biggest artist in the world. When Taco Bell does something, it's a relatively small artist like ourselves, like Hi-Viz, like it's not the biggest artist in the world. And so because of that, like it also, you know, can create some level of animosity where it's like, why did this band get this? Because they're not an opportunity regularly afforded to smaller artists. So it's a very, very cool thing that they're doing over there. And with that, yes, I don't know if it's lifelong, but I currently have unlimited yes. Taco Bell.
That's amazing. Okay. It kind of reminds me of, you know, like there were so many haters back in the day of like, do you remember when Scion would put on these metal festivals?
Oh, yeah. I bought the Magruder Grind, I got it for free, the Magruder Grind Scion 12-inch. I love that.
And I remember like Zabalba was played like a Southern Lord put on one of the festivals, and they, you know, got to play with like Winter and Cro-Mags. It was like very obviously someone in their department like was a metalhead or, you know, into the underground music. And like for those big corporations, it's like such a small amount of money to be able to play with, but it means a lot to, you know, people that like you and people like that are in underground music to have a little bit of support like that. It can be a game changer.
Well, it's also funny because ultimately it's a way better marketing tactic, because a smaller band is more surprising. And if they have any sort of following, that following goes, what the heck? You know, and like our edit of the commercial had a Green Day version and a Military Gun version. And guess what version got tweeted about more? You know what I'm saying? Like Green Day is just an established artist. And therefore, it's unsurprising. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, clearly Green Day would have a Taco Bell ad. But when Military Gun does it, it goes, people are going, what the heck? Like, yeah. I can't believe this. And so it's a smart move on their end because it gets more engagement. And like, you know, ultimately, a huge part of that is makes more people mad, which is hilarious.
So, you know, coming from the, you know, hardcore music underground, this style of music that you play now is maybe post hardcore, I would say. I don't even know, like melodic.
I mean, I just think we're a pop rock band, but we have roots in hardcore. So therefore, you know, we get all sorts of weird comparisons. Like, but if you listen to the song, if you didn't know we were from hardcore, I feel like you just say that, like, oh, yeah, it's a rock song.
So you said that you've noticed recently that a lot of your audience just aren't, you know, hardcore kids or whatever. They're just fans of, you know, Military Gun. Is that something you've been noticing on this tour specifically?
Oh, yeah. I mean, watching the change in the audience has been crazy. Every night, you know, during one of the songs, we have a bridge and we make it longer. And I ask at the start of it, I say, whose first Military Gun show is it? And at least half of the crowd is raising their hand. Off. Which is crazy because we've played so many packed out shows in the past. So to be like, wow, all of these new people are here, and there's clearly old people as well. It's been really interesting to observe the kind of changing of the guard, which I think happens with basically any band as they get bigger. But you're like, it's very weird to observe.
That's awesome, man. I mean, you're reaching new audiences and. You know, the casual listener might, you know, be open up to a whole new world of stuff. You brought some awesome bands on tour with you, especially like Roman Candle. Like, that's a really interesting band, and also Spiritual Cramp, you know. So did you guys specifically choose these bands to tour with you?
Yeah, we wanted to make a tour lineup that kind of spoke to the different brains of every audience member that we see, where we're like, it's like the culmination of all the ideas of what Military Gun is. We're like, Roman Candle is a hardcore band, mm-hmm. and Spiritual Cramp is a rock band, and Pool Kids is an emo band. And I think if you were to kind of dissect what our sound is, it kind of lies somewhat evenly between those three concepts and genres. And so we wanted to make a lineup that was speaking to what we felt like was like the totality of our audience. Nice. And not like just some, you know, like, oh, these are the coolest bands or these are the whatever, you know, like the most hype bands. We wanted to make a thing that really spoke to what we felt our audience was. And that's how we ended up at these bands. And the great thing about this tour is we only asked these bands. We did not get any no's. This is the starting lineup that we wanted.
That's awesome, man. Do you think that any of your family members are going to be coming out to this show since you're going to be back in Seattle?
Oh, yeah. Going to be tons of family at the show. You'll know them because they're the kind of Trumpy weirdos at the show. But that, you know, coming from Enumclaw, I don't think there's too many other options.
Fair enough, man. So, you know, this is probably such a passe question for you because you dealt with probably so much press over the last few years. But, you know, I'm just curious because you've seen, you were a part of, you know, you kind of grew up in hardcore music. I think you start on drums, right?
Yeah. I started on bass originally, but as far as like what I think people knew me as was a drummer. Yeah.
So you were in underground music through what you would call like the lean years. You know, I remember Zabalba playing your garage to like 20 people, or like 10 people. But now obviously at this like meteoric like level of underground music and like hardcore and what they would call adjacent genres, right? So you know, what's it like being out there and seeing this you know, this kind of wave of music, and what do you credit for the rise of it within the last few years?
I think I credit mainly the idea that hardcore went away during the pandemic, because it was no longer about going and sharing in a live kinetic experience of human bodies hitting each other. And instead it became about like, what can I listen to in my house? Because for the foreseeable future, I don't see me being in a public gathering where I can feel others' energy and bodies. And you know, like, I think that it ended up being about songwriting, and it ended up about being elevating what anyone wants to do, whether or not that has much to do with hardcore or not. I think that that's ultimately why we're seeing this thriving period, is that for a period of time, everyone who I think really cared to take themselves further wrote the best record they could because they had the most time to write a great record, where usually you'd be focused on getting it out so you could tour or whatever else. And like, I mean, obviously we're all living in the wake of Turnstile's Glow On. Sure. And that was because Turnstile wrote Glow On, you know, like that is an amazing record. And that is why we are, everything we do as a subculture now is compared to that moment, is because they wrote the best record. And I think it'd be foolish to try to get away from that. And we all benefit from it. So, I just think that everyone, just chose to write better songs, and it wasn't about traditionalism. It was about shaking traditionalism. I think if everything is swinging back the other direction now, as it should, you know, I think that the new generation of hardcore kids is going to be like, oh, that thing that Military Gun does is lame, and is going to be doing their own thing now.
Well, I mean, it's also interesting that, you know, there's the, you know, melodic side of things, but then, you know, you go and there's so many bands that are like straight up beatdown, or like, you know, death metal influenced beatdown. And so it's just like, it's very different paradigm, to totally two different like things, but I think it all lives within this like interesting world. So I don't know, we could talk, we can wax nostalgic, we could talk about all this cool stuff going down in the current days. I'm stoked to see you guys again. It is going down Saturday, March 9th at Numo's. Pool Kid, Spiritual Cramp, Roman Candle, and the band I'm talking to right now, Military Gun. Got two more questions for you, bro. This is a Northwest focused show. Favorite Northwest bands of all time?
Stop at Nothing.
Okay, nice. All right.
I would have to go Stop at Nothing and Sidetracked. Those are my two favorite. Relatively obscure in the modern day, but I would truly be nowhere without the Northwest Hardcore. NWHardcore.com used to be a thing for people that don't know. Kevin knows. I used to see his screen name, Kevin Deers, on the board all the time. But there was a page on a website, and it was just /demos. And I downloaded every band, Owen Hart. There was a band Oli was in, I forget, Ordeal. Eric. It was everything. And Stop at Nothing was the band that spoke to me. It was high-pitched vocals, super energetic, like very in your face. And Sidetracked was a blast beat, hardcore power violence band that's still around to this day, still making amazing songs. And without those two bands, you know, like Sidetracked played the first show I ever booked. And Stop at Nothing, like I never got to see Stop at Nothing, I don't even think. But you know, I don't know. It was without those bands, I just don't think that I would have found the energy of local music. Sunset Riders as well. I mean, I just am tied to a generation, really. And it's very nostalgic. But yeah, those bands like coming up were just super, super important to me. And I was super focused on local music. Like it wasn't about the biggest hardcore bands in the world. It was about the biggest, I thought they were the biggest bands in the world. Like when I booked Sidetracked, I was like, holy, like probably 400 people are going to show up to this. And then like 50 people showed up and I was like, whoa, this is amazing. But I was like, I didn't have the scope of the world. I was like, Sidetracked put out vinyl. Therefore they're huge.
I could talk to you for a long time. I know you're busy out there. You guys got a show to play. You're down in Sacramento right now.
No, we're in Salt Lake City.
So you're heading west. You're going to be playing Seattle again Saturday, March 9th at Numo's. All right, man. Congratulations on everything, man. We'll see you on the 9th here in Seattle. Military Gun, they welcome them back, man, with their homecoming show. Take it easy, Ian.
Thank you so much.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Each year, KellyBlueBook.com ranks vehicles on the road for predicted future resale value. And for 2026, Toyota dominates the top of the list. 4Runner ranks number 3. The Tundra is number 2. And the Tacoma is number 1 overall again. The fact is, Toyota works hard on both ends of ownership. With special low APR financing rates available on Tacoma and Tundra right now at your local Toyota dealer. But also because you're getting trucks that are built to lead in affordability tomorrow. 4Runner, Tundra, and Tacoma are all expected to vastly outperform the average vehicle in resale value after 5 years of ownership, according to KBB, which can mean thousands more in your pocket when it's time to sell or trade in. That kind of affordability is hard to find anywhere else. So stop by your local Toyota dealer or visit Toyota.com and start shopping today. Projected resale value information is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Books KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.